This is Maureen Kafkas, the Brain BS Coach, here to tell you about the episode today. I love this episode so much. I love it because the way I met Johnny Lloyd, who's on the podcast in this episode, I met him on my Turning 60 tour, on my cross-country adventure with Ginger and Basil by myself, where I got to do what I wanted, when I wanted, and the way I wanted it. And it turns out that Johnny had a similar adventure that makes mine pale in comparison, but that's only if I was a comparing kind of cow. I'm still going to own what I did and think it's amazing. Johnny is a unique, authentic individual who's living his life the way he wants to. We connected because we both have open hearts and we are both ready to meet new people, even though he's 70 and I'm 60. And we had a great connection. We're playing pickleball in the future. We are going to do sing-alongs by the fire with him and his sister. I got all kinds of stuff planned. So sit back, settle in for episode no number. It's a bonus holiday episode that I'm giving you, my gift to you, music with Johnny Lloyd and a great conversation, and happy holidays, audience. Do you want more out of your life but not exactly sure what that might be? Are you longing for something but can't quite put your finger on what it is? That is the universe speaking to you, and it is time to listen up. I'm your host, Maureen Kafkas, the Brain BS Coach. I created the Brain BS Podcast to help people define what success means to them and show them how to get it. I help you to let go of fear and doubt and prepare your nervous system for success. I show you how to understand your own energy and to trust yourself to make all the decisions. If you are ready to go inward and stop looking outside yourself for all the answers, this is the podcast for you. Now let's get started. Hello and welcome back to the Brain BS Podcast. I always say my guests are special, but I actually think this one's a really cool opportunity for me because I met this guy, Johnny Lloyd, on my road trip across the country with Ginger and Basil that you've heard me talk about on the podcast. And I actually posted on this on social media back in November because it was later at night. I went out into the plaza, La Fonda Plaza in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and I heard this guy singing. And he was singing this song, and I just loved the song. It totally made the whole trip to Santa Fe. I was only there for 2 days, but it really gave me goosebumps, and I loved it. And it just felt like I was exactly where I was supposed to be in the moment to hear that song. And then I went up and talked to Johnny and introduced myself and invited him to come on the podcast. And then I actually followed up because some people actually follow up on things, and I'm one of them. And now Johnny's here today. So Johnny, why don't you introduce yourself?
Well, I'm Johnny Lloyd, singer, songwriter, and I'm presently in Santa Fe area. And I'm originally from Detroit, Michigan. I say Detroit, south of Detroit. A little town, Monroe, but I say Detroit because most people are familiar with Detroit. And so I got here April 24th of 09. I rode my horses from Michigan to Santa Fe. And so it took me 6 months and 3 weeks to get here. I'm like you, I'm a road tripper too.
And wait, did you say you rode your horses?
Yes.
Oh my God, that's so awesome.
Yes, I left Michigan October 2nd of 08, and I got in Santa Fe April 24th of 09. And I had a saddle horse, a pack horse, and 2 dogs.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Out of the whole group, I still have my saddle horse left. Everybody else has passed, but I still have my saddle horse. And so I've been here almost 15 years now. And
okay. Well, all right. So you kind of made my little adventure for 2 weeks in a car pale in comparison to going across the country.
Road travel, man. I don't care how you do it.
Wow, that's so cool. Okay, so I knew that you were someone special when I met you in the plaza, and that you had a definite history to you that would be worth looking into, and you've already proven. And I haven't talked to you since then. This is the first time I'm seeing your face since then. You were also, when you were in the plaza, this is, I want to bring up how we can have misconceptions of people when we first meet them, because for you on the podcast, you're not seeing, but Johnny has a long white beard, and he was on the street, and he had a dog next to him, and he had a tip jar out, and I was like, oh, I'm like, that guy's so good, but he must be really down and out on his luck. He could be homeless and not have a place to live. And then when I heard you sing, that made it resonate even more. And then I'm gonna have you sing the song that I heard you playing in the plaza, because that even added to the whole misconception I had of you and what your life is all about. And you were there with Dottie, your dog, and Ginger and Basil, and Dottie didn't totally hit it off. Ginger and Basil are behind me on the couch there listening. So I had all these misconceptions of you. And then it wasn't until the next day when I got in my car to drive to Arizona. I'm like, I'm gonna look up Johnny Lloyd and see if he has any music on Spotify. And I listened to you for 2 hours because you had so many songs. And I'm like, this guy has a whole career and is successful, and I'm feeling sorry for him because he's out in the plaza at night playing music. So isn't it interesting how we get these we make up these stories
It
with
is.
our brain BS about other people, and we're completely inaccurate.
Yeah, and we all do it. We all do it. Yeah. Yeah.
So do you, before you play the song, and I love the song, do you care what people think of you?
I think we all kind of care to a certain degree. As I've gotten older, I don't think I care as much, you know. Because we get more stable in ourselves and more stable in who we are, and but yeah, to a degree, I do. You know, I want to be pleasing to people, especially my music. I like to think that they enjoy it, and because that's, you know, as an entertainer, you want to entertain people.
Yeah, I just wonder because I think in our society that like guys can get away with not caring what other people think a little bit more than women, but maybe because you're in an industry where you're providing a gift to someone or entertainment, that kind of ties into why it matters.
Yeah, and you know, and as I said, as we get older, you know, I've noticed as I get older, I care a little less. It's
Yeah, me
not
too.
important to me because, you know, I know who I am, I know what I do, and I am pretty comfortable. I found a place to be comfortable in that, you know, whether it's good or bad, whatever. But you know, I'm pretty comfortable in it. So.
Yeah, did it take you some time to, like you say, you've referred to getting older a couple of times. Did it take you some time to get to that point, or were you like
Oh
that
my
when you were?
goodness. Oh, yeah, I think it's a process, man. I don't, it, for me anyway, it didn't happen overnight. It was a process. And it took me, honest to goodness, it took me about, well, when I rode out here on my horses, I was 55 years old. And that, you know, you're riding on horseback and there's no one else around, is just you in the sky and the horses and the dogs. You got a lot of thinking time. And that's when I really started to settle down in myself and really, you know, kind of tried to figure it out, you know. So, yeah, I was about 55 years old.
Wow. So can I ask how old you are now?
I'm 70.
You're 70. Okay.
70.
Yeah, that kind of helps the audience so they have an idea of I turned 60. That's why I did my whole road trip. And turning 60 has become a really big year for
Yeah.
me. So you're inspiring me. Like I still think it's amazing that you got to Santa Fe on horses. And it's like 2023. But all right, so why don't you play? So the song that he was playing, I've come to learn, is called Uptown Busker. And I had to
Yes.
look up Busker because I didn't even know what that word meant. And it's a street performer.
Street performer. Now it's actually a street singer. It specifies music.
Oh, okay.
Not a juggler, not a, you know, a
Oh,
magician.
good point. Good
It's
point. Okay.
actually music.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you ready to play that one?
Yeah, it's one of my favorite songs.
Okay, I loved it.
Know, the Carnegie Hall keeps it calling my name.
but I'm a free man. I'm free from fortune and fame. Park bench with pigeons. Ah, that's where I'll be. Oh, I play for tips, but I play mostly for free. Cause I'm an uptown busker. Oh, I make music, I make rhyme. Mostly old covers, oh, but a few songs are mine. Well, now most people stare at me as they walk by. Oh, the children all love me. I even make some girls cry. Oh, by singing my old sad songs, some they wish me luck. Oh, hey, cowboy, do a good one, and I might even give you a buck. Well, now, Bob Seger, the Beatles, you know the Stones, John Prine. Jerry, Jeff Walker, now they're all friends of mine. Oh, they lend me their lyrics, so I'm gonna do my best. If my tip jar gets full, you know then I pass the test. Cause I'm an uptown busker. Oh, I make music, I make rhyme. Well, now mostly old covers, with a few songs of mine. I play my guitar, oh, that's what I do. Cause I'm a street entertainer. All my songs are for you. Oh, I'm an uptown busker. I make music, I make rhyme. Now mostly old covers, oh, a few songs of mine. I play my guitar, oh, that's what I do. Cause I'm a street entertainer. All my songs are for you. I play my guitar, oh, that's what I do. I'm a street entertainer. All my songs are for you. Yeah, I'm just an old street entertainer. All my songs are for you.
Yay! I love that song.
Thank you, Maureen. Thank you.
So, all right. So I have a question about that song. Are you really friends with Bob Seger and them, or are you just saying you're friends because you borrow their songs and do covers?
Well, telling you that I was from the Detroit area, Bob Seger's from Ann Arbor. And Bob's about not quite 10 years older than me. So we would bump shoulders. Glenn Fry's also, of course, you know, Ted Nugent, all those. All those guys are from that area. And so I met Bob a couple times back in his early days. I mean, back when he, Black Sheep was his number one song. And Ramblin' Gamblin' Man, that was back, I was about, I don't know, 15 years old, you know, trying to hang around all these guys that were, you know, bigger than me. And so, yeah, we bumped shoulders a couple times.
Oh, I'm a big Bob Seger fan.
Oh, me too. I think he is the most underrated musician there is. Songwriter, just a great guy, man.
Yeah, and honestly, this is kind of interesting, but this is sort of how, like, things work. Bob Seger was always, like, his song, Roll Me Away. And that one verse where it says, I could go east, I could go west, it's all up to me to decide, has been playing in my head for decades. And I always wanted to go on a trip where I can go the way I want, when I want, and the way I want. And that's what this whole trip was. And now we have a Bob Seger connection. So you always knew that you wanted to be a musician.
My mother was a musician. She played in the church. She was a keyboard player and also a vocalist. And she made sure that her son, followed her footsteps. And so, she pretty much pushed me into it. And then when the Beatles came on the scene in 1964, man, I was gone. I was gone. She couldn't keep me out of the music room. That's all I did.
Wow. So when you first started out, did you find success right away or did it take you some time?
No, it's the music business is probably like any other business. You just got to knock doors and it's tough and it still is. I mean, I'm 70 years old and it's still tough to knock them doors down, especially post-COVID. What COVID has changed people's thinking, I'm sure in every field, and it applies to the music field. A lot of places venues don't have music anymore. So now he's still pushing doors open, still trying to kick them down. Still trying to prove yourself at 70 years old. You know?
Well, listen, I'm 60 and I'm really just starting to try to prove myself because I came upon this work that I'm doing with Brain BS and promoting emotional and mental health by learning how to manage your mind. And I'm so passionate about it. So it's sort of like a blessing and a curse at the same time. Because I love it. I love the people I meet and the work I'm doing, but it also can get discouraging sometimes because you want to reach as many people as you can, whether it's with your gift or mine. And it can get kind of defeating, but it's really not an option to give up, is it?
It's a passion. It's a passion. If we don't do it, we wither up and we're walking circles in the room. We have to do it, you know?
Yeah. So how about just because I didn't know who you were when I saw you on the street, and if it was Bob Seger there, I probably would have recognized him and known him. How have you defined success in your career?
Well, success how I define it is if people enjoy it because I'm an entertainer, you know, and I like cooking. And if people enjoy my food, then it's a good meal. If their plates are empty, you know, and they really pick it, then it's not a good meal. So I judge my music the same way. If people enjoy it, and I don't really judge it by the amount of money in the tip jar or how much the venue pays or not. You can look at people, and if they enjoy it, then I really think I've done something. And that's an honest statement. I really think I've done something if they enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, so how do you deal with it, though? Like you say, when sometimes knocking down those doors is difficult and stuff, you still love your own music, don't you?
I love my own music. It's who I am. My mother told me something one time I'll never forget, and I'll share this with you. And this will help you with your venture.
Yes, please.
I was a young man. She said, "No, John," she said, "not everybody's going to like what you do." She said, "But remember, not everybody likes vanilla ice cream either." And I have drawn on that, Maureen. I can't tell you how many times I've drawn on that statement.
Oh, I love that. I'm writing that down.
Yeah, right. It's carried me through a lot of times, you know. And not everybody's going to like you. But there are enough people that like you that you feel like you're doing what you should be doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how do you think that your passion for music has impacted your life and your relationships? I can't help but notice how long it took you to ride on a horse to Santa Fe, and you were 55 when you did that. Do you feel like you had to give up anything to pursue your music?
As far as sacrificing, of course, you spend a lot of time practicing and all that, but I never considered that a sacrifice because it was always a passion with me. I had a lot of girlfriends along the way that wished I was more available.
Well, that's kind of where I was going. Did you ever marry?
I've married four times.
Four times? Okay. Well,
I'm
then
I'm presently married right now, but I
oh, have, you are.
I have three former marriages. Yeah.
Okay.
And music was with my first marriage. Music was an obstacle, and I had a good relationship when I got out here. In New Mexico, I never married this woman, but music was an obstacle. And I actually wrote a song about her and about that experience, how music came between us. And, I have regrets because I really care about her. Still do. We keep in contact all the time. But, it has become a wedge sometimes, you know.
Yeah. Oh, that's kind of sad, but it's also... I mean, now I kind of want to hear that song, or we'll put that song in the show notes.
Yeah.
Because I think that when we do have a passion about something and we really want to share it with other people, that mm-hmm. sometimes the people in our lives kind of feel left out a little bit, or like they're not getting enough attention from us. So I think finding the balance between those two things can be kind of challenging.
It is challenging, and sometimes the decision you have to make is tough, you know, because like I say, that speaking on that one woman, I really care about her still today, but you know, I had to make a choice, and the choice was tough. You know?
Yeah. Okay. So, all right. So it seems like you've always known that you were going to do music. And do you have any siblings?
I do. I do.
Are they into music too?
Well, I have a sister who's 4 years younger, and she's a piano player, singer. And I have a brother who's 8 years younger, and all three of us are in the Santa Fe area. I actually followed them out here, you know. And my brother, he's a mechanic, so he never really caught on with the music. But he loves tinkering with mechanical things. He's an awesome mechanic. So that's his talent. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's interesting that... yeah, because there's always in a family, everyone's different, right? And not everybody's going to be drawn to the... So when you guys get together, do you do sing-alongs and stuff?
My sister and I do. And my brother, he'll join in once in a while.
Well, I'm inviting myself to a sing-along because I'm definitely coming back to Santa Fe. And I love sing-alongs with musicians. I've always wished that I had a group of friends that played instruments and sang.
Right.
Because I see that on movies and stuff and in shows. I'm not a good singer at all, but I still love singing along.
Well, you better look me up when you come back.
Oh, I am. You can count on it.
Right.
I love Santa Fe. It's so cool.
It is a very, very unique place, Santa Fe is.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, let me see. What else was I going to ask you about? Well, oh, I know. So then when I left Santa Fe going to Arizona, I was listening to your music and thinking, wow, this guy's really had a lot of success. And I noticed in your songwriting, and this is something that I've been thinking about a lot, because I believe that at the end of our lives, when we die, mm-hmm. that I believe in preparing for that, because it's not like maybe it's going to happen. It's going to happen to all of us, even though we act like it's not going to often. You know, people don't want to talk about it or think about it. It seems like you have a lot of songs about facing your mortality, and that really resonated with me too. So I wondered your thoughts on that and what inspired you to write about that. Is that your way of preparing?
Well, as I said, my mother was a musician in the church, so I was raised in church. And so I had the teachings of the church, which is actually the foundation of who and what I am. I clung to those, and they made a lot of sense to me. And I've since, you know, just grown, and that's who I am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like you. I prepare for the end. It's inevitable, like you said. It's coming to all of us, and we know it. I'm not fearful of it, because it's that door we all have to walk through. And has a lot to do with how I am, who I am.
Yeah, I think a lot of the work that I do is really, and I just said this in my community that I have, that I think it's about preparing for the end of your life. I think relationships are everything in life. And that doesn't mean marriage. Mm-hmm. You can be unsuccessful at the institution of marriage and still have good quality relationships with other people. Sure. But I think relationships are really important, and taking care of unfinished business that you have with yourself. So I feel like so many people think about doing the work that I'm doing with learning how to live consciously and reprogram their subconscious and unconscious programming in a way that works better for them, but they don't have a sense of urgency because their brain BS is making them think they have forever. And there's nothing worse than when you lose someone at the end of their lives and you haven't shown up to them the way you wish you did when they were alive.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that that's, and I think people underestimate what that feels like and how much of an impact that can have on you. I'm not saying you can't reframe that and still work on that after a person's gone, because you can. But I just believe that our exit out of here is going to be so much better for everyone if we've actually addressed everything we wanted to before we go.
Well, that's the dream. That's the dream. Yeah.
Yeah. And anything could happen at any given moment. So we're more inclined to think about it now that we're older.
Yes.
Which makes sense. Yes. But the truth is, it could happen, you know, anytime to. So, and I don't think I'm really afraid of dying. I just kind of don't want to.
Yeah. Well, you're not right? ready to do it. You've got a lot of things to do.
Yeah.
This is one of them, this podcast. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so, I mean, if I didn't have the podcast, I would have never followed up. What would I say? Hi, Johnny. Like, how are you? I saw you in the plaza one night. And so it gives me a platform to really meet people. And I love that, the connections I make with other people. I mean, what else is there? And this is another thing, a misconception, and tell me what you think about this. A lot of people think that you can't make friends as you get older. And I think that's for sure not true. It just all depends on your frame of mind. And if you believe that you can make friends and set yourself up in a way, like between my podcast and pickleball, I'm pretty set.
Okay, so I got a question for you. Number one, you're a pickleball player. I just caught that.
Yes. Are you?
That's big now. No, I'm not. But at some point, because I used to play racquetball as a younger man. And so I can see me doing pickleball. I could see me doing that.
I get so many people to play pickleball. It's not even funny. So when I come to Santa Fe, we're going to play pickleball.
Hey, I'll take you up on that.
Okay.
Can I wear my cowboy boots?
Sure, that'll be to my advantage. You won't be able to run in those like you can't wear shoes.
No, I'm just joking. I'll find a pair of tennis shoes somewhere.
Okay, now I'm really coming to Santa Fe. My husband wants to come to Santa Fe too, and he plays pickleball. So you'll have to get the fourth.
Okay.
All right.
I'll find somebody.
Okay, and we have rackets.
Okay, I'll find somebody if I even got to pay them, which I probably have to do, but that's okay. Well, no, listen, I want to get back to one thing you said.
Oh, about okay.
Friends as we get older.
Yeah.
You know, I find it easier because of who I am. You know, I'm more easygoing, and I'm more acceptable. And I you know, and so I find friends right now in this at 70 years old, it's not a problem at all.
Really. You're open to it.
I'm open to it.
Yeah. I think that's when you do the things that, like you did going on that trip for as long and reflecting and doing all that, it kind of opens up our heart, you know, opens up your heart, and you don't have to protect yourself anymore. Mm-hmm. So you can just be open and trusting of people and know that you're going to be okay regardless of what other people do. And then you're not as, you're like in your music, you tend to be focused on what other people are thinking, because that's kind of the results that you have in your industry. But in another way, you don't seem to be worried. Like, you know, your music is good and you believe in yourself, whether anybody else does or not.
Yeah.
It's a good place to be, right?
Well, I'm comfortable with it, Marie. I'm comfortable at this stage in my life. I really am. Yeah.
And it feels really good to be comfortable in your own skin.
Oh, my goodness. The journey it takes to get there, right?
I know.
We still arrive.
But not everybody does that journey. So it's not just because of the progression of the years that makes that journey take place. It depends on how you address that journey and approach it.
I've met people in their 20s that have already arrived to that point. And so yes. It has nothing to do with age. You're right. You're totally correct with that. It has nothing to do with the age on your driver's license, you know.
No. And I've seen people in their 80s that haven't changed since they were 20.
Right. Exactly.
Right. And it's just like, so that's the other part of the podcast is inspiring people to really live their lives and really grow. Because if you're not comfortable in your own skin, you cannot have the same quality of life.
You can't. Not with anyone. If you can't have it with yourself, you can't have it with anybody. Yeah. Not even pets. You have to have it within yourself. And then that, once you got it there, man, it's everywhere, right? That's why it's easier to make friends. That's why it's easier to be with my dog, Dottie. That's why it's easier, you know, because I'm comfortable in myself and it's easier to move out. You know? That's why you and I can talk. We met and we just clicked and here we are.
Yeah. It's because the relationship that you have with yourself, I always say this, comes first. And when you have a high quality relationship with yourself and you have that unconditional love, even though you know you have flaws and imperfections, but you still love yourself anyway, then you can extend that to other people. And we're not so quick to judge people and be so critical. We're just like more open to all of it. Because when you shut down to protect yourself, you're shutting down from good things coming in too.
Exactly.
Yeah. And now we have pickleball in our future. That's going to be another episode for sure.
Well, yeah, I've really got something to look forward to now.
Yeah. And it's not going to be that long. I'm not waiting that long to play pickleball.
All right.
All right. So let me see. Is there anything else that you want to share with the audience, that anything about your past or your history or about what matters to you that you want to share on the podcast before we have you play a little more music?
Well, if I had to go out with a thought, I just want to be the best person I can be, honestly. And I know that some people would, tag that as a cliche, but it's true. I just want to be the best guy I can be. And when I see wrong and people wronging each other, you watch the news and I say, I don't want to be that person. I want to be as good as I can be so I don't harm nobody like that person's harm. And it's been drawing me to focus more on myself than anybody else.
Yes, I'm so glad you brought that up, because that we just had a conversation about this, and Eckhart Tolle talks about this in A New Earth in his book, that the state of the world can be really discouraging and get you really down if you let it. And if you dwell in it, you're not helping. People think that they're paying their respects to the people who are suffering by watching them suffer and then getting all into a really low frequency and negative energy, that they're doing them a service, but they're not. The best thing that we can do for the planet and everyone in it is to be the best version of us that we can be. Literally, there's nothing better. That's what we're here to do. And that's the only thing we have power over.
What kind of place would this be, Maureen, if we all had that attitude?
That's what I'm trying to create. That's what I'm trying to inspire people to do. So, yeah. So, all right. Well, I'm so glad that you're here. You going to play a little bit more music for us?
I will. Now, you mentioned a Christmas tune.
Yes.
And I don't do a lot of Christmas songs.
Do you do any?
I can do one.
Okay.
It's one that, I did as a kid. It's actually one of my favorite ones, Silent Night.
Oh, mine too. That's perfect.
I love that song, man.
Yeah.
So let me get my guitar here and tune
it. Okay. I'm going to put it back on speaker view.
Okay. Okay. So now I only know the one verse, the first verse. That's all I remember. So is that okay just to do the one verse?
Yes.
Oh, silent night, Thou holy night, you know all is calm. You know now is so bright round yon virgin mother and child. Holy infant, so tender and mild, now sleep in heavenly peace. Oh, sleep in heavenly peace. Well now, silent night, oh now, holy night. All is calm now, you know all is so bright. Round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, now sleep in heavenly peace. Well, now sleep, oh, in heavenly peace.
Hey, I love that. What do you want to play? What other song do you want to play? Do you want to play the one that you said that you wrote for the woman who music became an obstacle?
Sure.
Okay. Sure.
Now you know that the love I gave, I thought, well, that was what she want. And the time I gave, you know, I thought, has been kind. She said she needed me home every evening. Now my life's moved on, I'm dragging up behind. Oh, you know that she said someday, Johnny, I'm gonna leave you. Cause those things you do, they bear heavy on my mind. Yeah, but I blew it off, I did not heed her warning. Now my life's moved on, I'm dragging up behind. Well now tears were shed, old things were said that brought her to this place. You know, a place so dark she cannot see. The love we had, oh, now gone bad. Oh my God, where did she go? Oh, how could this woman slip so far from me? Oh, you know that she said someday, now Johnny, I'm gonna leave you. Cause those things you do, they bear heavy on mine. Oh, but I blew it off, you know I did not heed her warning. Now my life's moved on, I'm dragging up behind. Now my life's moved on, I'm dragging up behind. You know that she's moved on, I'm dragging up behind.
Oh, wow, that was really good, especially after talking about it in the conversation we had about it.
Thank you.
Yeah, you can kind of feel the emotion of that song. Okay, what about, do you know any Bob Seger songs?
I do.
Okay, which ones, though? I don't want old time rock and roll. That's like my least favorite one.
No. I try, when I pick another artist's songs, I try to pick the ones that are not more obscure. You know, yeah. Other don't cover much, you know.
Do you know Roll Me Away?
No.
Okay, that's all right. That would have been like too crazy.
Maybe I'll learn that time we play pickleball. I'll learn that.
Okay, all right, perfect. And then we have a sing-along after pickleball.
There you go.
Okay.
I'll do, now here's one that he did that I was in a laundromat one time and I heard it over the radio in a laundromat. And not, I've never heard anyone else do it but him and myself. So,
okay.
I'm sure there are other people, but I haven't heard. See, I gotta get the right tune here. It's called Real Love. It's one of her earlier songs. You know, I think I found a real love. It's genuine and true. Think it's really come my way today, babe. Oh, I think it's really you. Hey. I remember moments looking in your eyes. Oh, I could have sworn I saw the spark of love, babe, flicker inside. Yeah, I've been around and round the track, and the only thing I like is that real love. You know, every time I see you, every time we touch, I can see the way you feel for me, babe. Oh, it means so much. Oh, and every time you look at me, now that's the way that it should be in the real love. Why now, darling, darling, darling? Why now, won't you stay now with me, stay? You know I long to see you in the morning. Every day, you know now, every day now, till that moment. Oh, and I take your hand, gonna try to do my very best, babe, to prove to you I'm your man. Yeah, I'm gonna do my very best. You know I'm not gonna rest. Oh, till we got that real love. But now that real love. And not till we got that real love. Oh.
Oh, that was good. I'm not familiar with that song.
Well, that's an old one, and you don't hear it real often, but it's a good song. I think it's a good song.
Yeah, I like that one, too. Do you know any other ones?
Or
do you have another one that you want to play of your own?
Of my own? Yeah, I've got a couple. Yeah, I'll do Old Mexico. This is one of my favorite songs.
Okay.
And I just went to Mexico last January for my first time.
Oh, yeah, for the first time?
First time, yeah. Well, now, Jesus and Carlos, they sing their songs down on the old Plaza Square. Children are dancing and they all sing along. Oh, there's such joy in the air. Mamacita, Rosita, oh, and Evelyn too.
swing their skirts down the streets, oh, as they go. The vaquero are clapping, all the cowboy boots tapping, way down in New Mexico. With my sombreros all mounted, my serape hangs low. Now the sun beats down my face. Fiesta aromas are filling my senses. Oh, enticements, you know they're every place. I've got pozole, a taco, a burrito or two. Yeah, all I need is Jose Cuervo. Throw my passport away. I think I'm gonna stay way down in New Mexico, where they got all those hot senoritas, all the bean fried fajitas, got music wherever you go. They got laughter long after the music stops, now way down in New Mexico, where they got all those hot senoritas, all the bean fried fajitas, got music wherever you go. They got laughter long after the music stops, now way down in New Mexico. Yeah, they've got laughter long after the music stops. Oh, now way down in old Mexico.
Oh, I like that. That was good.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I went to Mexico last January.
Yeah, and you liked it?
I'm sorry?
Did you like it?
Wow.
I liked it, but I'm not, it doesn't speak to me. So
it wasn't a good experience. No, my dog fell down two flights of stairs, broke his back.
Oh no.
I had to have him put down. 2 days later, I got robbed. Broad daylight. Some guy come up and grabbed my money off of me, and thank God I didn't get shot or nothing. So it wasn't a good 2 weeks for me.
Oh my gosh, that sounds terrible. And your poor dog. I actually have a podcast episode on how our furry friends aren't meant to be with us forever, because it's so hard to say goodbye to dogs.
My goodness. And this guy, well, he came cross country with me. I picked him up in Van Buren, Arkansas, on my way, you know, cross country. He was a puppy, so he rode in my saddlebag.
So oh my gosh,
he grew up on the road, you know, and I'd had him 14 years.
Oh, God. And then you wrote that. So that's another thing. Like, you wrote this song that sounds kind of fun about the things in Mexico, and then you had this horrible experience there.
I know there's some really good things about Mexico, and I won't judge it on my horrible 2 weeks. So.
No, some people love it, for sure.
They do.
Okay, so, well, we're getting ready to wrap up here, but I have a question that came up to me just based on the conversation that we had. And this is also something I'm going to ask the audience. If we've kind of talked about unfinished business in this episode, and we're all, if we're here listening, we're alive and well and capable of following up with any unfinished business that we might have. And I think the way to know that if you have unfinished business is if a situation or a person or a conversation keeps coming up in your mind, that there's something to visit there, to revisit there, and maybe follow up on. And it's never too late to do it. So I'm wondering if after talking about this and doing the episode, and you don't have to have it, I'm just wondering if you feel like there's any unfinished business that you would want to take care of.
There is. Yeah, there is.
And, okay.
It's something that I've been putting off because I really don't know at this moment how to approach it. And of course, you know that we want to approach things the right way, in the right frame of mind, with the right wording, because we know how important verbiage is.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, there is something, and I'm going to approach it as soon as I come to the best way to approach it. Yeah.
Right. And I think it's sort of like your music, that it really doesn't have anything to do with the words that you say.
Mm-hmm.
It's way more about the energy,
yes,
that you bring to them. And if you go with love and compassion,
goodness,
to it, then whatever you say, because it no matter what you say, we all have these brain filters of how we look at life, and no mm-hmm. matter what we say, people are going to interpret what we say from those brain filters. So what we intend might not be how they receive it at all, but it's really more about us making sure that we show up the way we want and take and saying what we have to say, more so than how it's received by anybody else.
I totally agree with you, Maureen. Energy is, you know, a lot of times energy speaks for you. You don't say a word.
It's true.
You show up with the right energy and you've got the right intention and the right motive. That comes through many times more than words come through, you know.
Yep, that's your subconscious and unconscious programming. And it's always going to be way up. My dog, the plumber just arrived. Hold on a second. Okay, sorry about that. I'm gonna have to go back and figure out how to edit wherever we were. But yes, so I was saying the subconscious and unconscious programming speaks way louder than any conscious thoughts or words. So that's why people can do nice things for other people, but if they're doing it from resentment and obligation and people pleasing, you're not really giving with generosity. So you're not gonna get back what you think if you're giving from that perspective. But okay, so I want you to consider joining the Brain BS community, because it's $100 for a year.
Right.
And we talk about these kind of things, and I can actually help you to have that conversation sooner rather than later. And that's just an offering for you to consider. It's sure. It's not a pitch to try to sell you on anything, but I would like to stay connected.
Well, sure, absolutely, absolutely.
I can't hear you.
You connect, you can't hear me?
You know, the sound's gone.
Uh-oh, I don't know where Aaron is.
Did you mute yourself?
Nope, I'm right in the same spot. Hey,
Oh my gosh, I'm such a knucklehead. It's in my head, my headphones.
Oh, okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah. Okay. Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
Listen, connect with Aaron and tell her what I have to do to be a part of that. You said, and she'll lead me through it, and we'll connect with it.
Okay, awesome. That would be great. Yeah, it was such an honor having you on the podcast. I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed meeting you, and I'm seriously looking forward to playing pickleball with you and having a sing along when we come to Santa Fe.
Well, thank you, Marina. Listen, when we play pickleball, you gotta take it easy on me, okay?
Oh no, I don't take it easy on anybody on the pickleball court.
Okay. All right.
No, I will. I will. I'll take it easy. I'll just.
Right.
You should watch YouTube videos before we play.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you for being here, Johnny.
Thank you for having me, Marina. Listen, have a good holiday, you and your family.
Thank you. Okay, audience. I know you learned something valuable here today. See you next episode, and happy holidays.
Thanks so much for listening to the Brain BS podcast. I hope you really learned something here today that can be helpful and that you can apply to your own life. If you find it useful, I would appreciate it if you gave me a 5-star review at Apple Podcasts and shared the podcast with everyone you know, so that I can reach more people and help them to learn how to live consciously and live the life they really want. If you'd like to be on the podcast, you can email me at mkcoachllc@gmail.com or message me on Facebook. Until next time.